You know, in the I'm Eddie. I'm a retired Anglican minister. Still working, even retired, for the Lord. Now, as an Anglican, if you go to Anglican church, as you read the scripture, after finishing reading the scripture, the readers say, "This is the word of God." Then the members say, "Thanks be to God." Thanks be to God. Indeed, this is the word of God as we hear God's word. Sometimes just hearing God's word can transform life and change life through the Holy Spirit. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, when you hear God's word, let's hear it intensively because it is God's word, indeed God's word. As you know that those in prison, you heard story about those in prison, let's give them the scripture, the New Testament. By reading the word of God, many of them will change. Became Christian. So the word of God can change life, can transform life. Now the reason why today I chose Psalm 145, I told your pastor that let's take a break on leadership and let's look at Psalm 145. Because as you know, year-end financial year, right? E-O-F-Y, yeah? Yeah, is it E-O-F-Y, right? Yeah. So, end of financial year, June, and now is immediate year. I think it's good for us to just ponder and be thankful to thank God rather than. So that's the reason I choose Psalm 145. Great is your faithfulness. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's look at, let's have a Bible, important Bible or your phone Bible. Let's look at God's word. So, as I said before, it's important to do a gospel, let God speak to us, not the person. The person can say anything he likes. Sometimes can say the wrong things, but it's good to read scripture, whether the speaker, the teacher is preaching the word of God. That's very important. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us through his word this morning. Father God, as we gather together in your house of worship, we pray that you speak to us, let our hearts be still, and to know that you are God who is almighty. And Father, may your spirit be our teacher and our guide. Help our mind not be distracted, but focus our hearts and minds upon our Lord Jesus Christ. And for all this, we ask and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that the outline with you, 3-point sermon, and also this discussion for your small group to discuss 8 questions. Now, friends, if you have been to a kids camp, you'll probably hear this prayer before a meal. Great, God is great. God is good. Let's thank him for the food. Now, in the prayer, they did not only say God is great, but also he is good. If God is only great, he might be only a terror. If he is only good, he might lack the ability to be an ever-present help in time of need. So in this Psalm 145, King David called upon the readers and us and all the living things in this universe to praise God for he is both great and good. King David was a mighty king. He himself was a mighty warrior, and he had won many, many, many battles. Wherever he went, his enemies were under his mercy. Therefore, he should fear no one, praise no one, but he knew that as a king, he's still under another powerful king. And that is his creator God. So look at verse 1. In the opening verse of Psalm 145, he addressed his creator God as my God and King. Here David said that you are my God. Not just my God, even though I'm king, you are my king. He knew that without the Almighty God, He was nobody. Without his God, he would just be a shepherd boy. Without God, he would be a slave to his enemies. Without God, he would be killed by his enemies. To David, God, the king, is a master and ruler of his life. In gratitude, King David praised God for his past faithfulness, his goodness and mercy. He did not take his God for granted. He wanted to praise God for all his blessings. Likewise, the psalmist is calling God's people to praise him. When you and I praise someone, we praise him or her for the good work he has done or how well he or she looks. When we praise our dog, we praise him for obeying our command. But when we praise the Almighty God, what do you have in mind? Someone said, praise his worship. It is acknowledging God to be what he truly is. The sovereign, holy, just, righteous, merciful, awesome, and majestic God. We discover him to be in Scripture. David said, every day I will praise you and extol you and extol your name forever and ever. Dear friends, the answer is every day. Not just Sunday coming to church and worship God and sing this song, Majesty. How about Monday? When you go to work, when at home, as grandparents, do you praise God? Or just coming to Sunday and we praise God and sing wonderful songs? But here the psalmist says, every day, Monday to Sunday, he will praise his God eternally. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 to 20. 29, 10 to 20. 1 Chronicles. And let me read to you. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, for everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is a kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of this belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things have I given willingly with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given you. O Lord, God of our father, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people. Forever keep their hearts loyal to you. and give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palace structure for which I have provided. Then David said to the whole assembly, praise the Lord your God, so that all praise the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed down and fell prostrate before the Lord and the king. Can you hear what God is, David is saying? All are yours. All belongs to you. Praise be to God. See, friends, they were so eager to say, I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. And here we knew that David had his good day and bad day. David was pursued by Saul and had to hide in a cave. His own family members wanted to get rid of him. Even though David went through many challenges in life, he did not stop praising the Lord. He knew all along that he was serving a great and faithful God. Small wonder, friends, he was able to ask us to praise God for who he is. Now, it's easy for you and I to praise the Lord when our lives are smooth sailing. But when we are going through hardship, trials, and had a bad day, are we able to praise the Lord for who he is? Here, the Word of God tells us that we are to praise Him every day, regardless of how our day looks. When we are up, everything looks good. We are to praise Him. When we are down and things look dark, we are still to praise Him. Every day is a new opportunity to praise Almighty God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. See, you can see in everything, good days, bad days, illness, sickness, COVID-19. Instead of grumbling, 10 days at home. Cannot see my grandchildren. Here's everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, when was the last time you praised God for who He is and for what He has done for you through His Son Jesus Christ? See, friends, the reason why we should praise the Lord are His greatness, verses 5 to 7. His grace, verses 8 to 13. His faithfulness, 13 to 16. And His righteousness, 17 to 18. Here the psalmist calls us to praise God because He is worthy to be praised. Second, we are called to praise Him because He is a great God. Verse 3 to 6, 13 to 11 to 13. Now just look at the sky, the ocean, the forest, and during the night, just look up at the stars. Do you know, in living in Australia, it's a privilege. We have oceans, we have mountains. We can see beautiful stars. I don't know about Malaysia. We can see Malaysia, can see mountains, but Singapore, you only see skyscrapers. Sometimes hardly can see stars. But here, friends, it's a privilege for us. We see the oceans, stars. Look at the animals we have in Australia and the world. What do we see? we witness the greatness of God.
Who can make this beautiful world for you and I to enjoy?
Not the cruise ship. Not the people from Hollywood.
It is the Almighty God who created all these wonderful things. If man cannot fathom the depth of the ocean and the vastness of the galaxies in the sky, then no one is able to fathom his greatness. Friends, God is so great that man cannot begin to search out the extent of his greatness. So important, we cannot begin to imagine how utterly we depend on our Almighty God.
Now, if we look back at the history of Israel, the people of God witnessed the mighty acts of God displayed before Pharaoh and his people. The 10 plagues, the crossing of the Red Sea, and how God defeated their enemies before their very eyes. How God gave them city after city and made them people under his rule. And here they are to tell the people about the great deed of God from one generation to another. It was part of the responsibility of parents to teach their children about the great deeds of God. As the people meditate upon God's wonderful works, they will be moved to praise the wonder of his action in creation and redemption. See, whenever Australians travel overseas, they would tell their friends, their hosts, and those they met on the way that Australia is a great place to live. It is a great country, and you love it. So what kind of wonderful deeds and mighty acts do you think God has done for you and for the world today? God gave his Son Jesus Christ to redeem us from the wrath of God and from eternal damnation. See, friends, without the saving grace of God, you and I will be eternally lost. Now, if you have experienced the greatness of God in your life, then you and I should share to our children, to our grandchildren, to our youth, to our parents, and to our neighbors about this awesome God that you are serving. It is a biblical duty of every generation of Christians to see to it that the next generation hears about the mighty acts of God. Friends, God does not just drop a Bible from heaven on every generation. You see, in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, they don't have a written Bible, NIV, RSV. It's oral. They will tell another generation, do you know Yahweh is great? He helped us to destroy Pharaoh. Then they pass to their grandchildren, do you know Yahweh is great? He destroyed Pharaoh. He intends for the mature Christians to teach the newest one to think and trust and obey and rejoice. Now, friends, I want you to notice that verse 4, does not say that we are to merely teach his word. One generation will commend your works to another. That means that we will pass along our praise to them. We must not only aim at education, but also focus on exhortation. If teachers and parents do not exhort God in their teaching, they cannot pass it along to the next generation. See, friends, dry an emotional, indifferent teaching about God, whether at home or at church, does this destroy to our kid? It says one thing about God and portrays another. It is inconsistent because it says that God is great, but teaches as if he is not. So I want to say to all of us here, if you and I experience the greatness of God, the faithfulness of God in your life and in my life, then as individual, as a church, we should share, whether on pulpit, whether Sunday school, whether at home, we should tell them how great is our God. Last week I had my live group. So I told, all of them are Aussies. I told the Australian. I say I came from a Buddhist Taoist background. I say I have something to tell you. That Buddhism, Taoism cannot save me. Only Christ can save me. I say, do you know that why Australian people are not effective sharing the gospel to another white? Because they think they are Christians. For us who live in South Asia, we experience the greatness of God, the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God. And that's why we can tell others about Jesus, because we experience it within our heart. So, my dear friends, you have a great story to tell another generation, because you experience God in your life, how God transformed you. Another reason why we should go out and proclaim to the world is because of the greatness of God. Look at 7 to 9 and 13 to 20. See, many people think that Old Testament God is a God of wrath and not of love. But I would like you to look at verses 8 to 9. And this is what David wrote. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all, not some, to all. He has compassion on all he has made. So what kind of God you and I are serving? Is he just a God of wrath? But here we see that he's God of love. He is one. He is compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. Exodus 34, 6 to 7, read that how God revealed himself to Moses. This is what is written. And God passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Can you see that? This is the Old Testament God. It's a loving God, a compassionate God, a forgiving God. This is the God that David praised and adored. Here David himself experienced the mercy of God when he repented of his sin. He knew how compassionate and gracious God is. How about you, friends? Have you experienced the mercy of God in your life?
Can you recall how we have sinned against God? How you have turned away from God? And how you asked God to forgive you? And He did. How do you feel? I believe you felt relief and thankful to God for His mercy. When I was pastor in Singapore in the Presbyterian Church, one of the church members, as you know, working for a big company, he have to entertain clients. So he has his client went to Thailand to entertain him. At the end of the day, he woke up, he saw a woman next to him, and which is not his wife. He came back and one of the deacons came to me and said, "Pastor, you know, so and so had committed adultery. Not purposely." So I went to him and I spoke to him. First thing, he was afraid that he got AIDS. He was so skinny. He was so worried that he became so skinny. He thought he got AIDS. "Pastor, I don't know what to do." He asked for forgiveness, and we prayed together. He asked God for forgiveness. Then I said, "You need to talk to your wife." And Richard and I went to see the wife and him, and he, in front of the wife, said, "Please forgive me." And the wife forgave him. But he's still worried because he's scared he got AIDS. And the result came back. He said, "You're okay. You're cleared." What happened? No, he rejoiced. Oh, what a relief. "Why forgive me? No AIDS." And thank God and praise God for His grace and mercy. And thank God for His wife who is willing to forgive him. Can you see, friends, how great God is? He repented of his sin and he asked his wife to forgive him. And the wife forgave him. What a wonderful God that we have. What a great God that we have, a merciful God, a forgiving God. Since then, this couple began to serve church, became very actively serving church, because he knew that God is such a loving and forgiving God, a compassionate God. God does not only show compassion towards his people, but also to everyone in his creation. It's because he created each one of us. See, friends, salvation is for those who are willing to repent of their sin. Salvation is for those who are willing to say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Sorry what I've done. Sorry I rebelled against you. I turned away from you. Now I'm willing to come back just like the prodigal son." And the knowledge that they need Jesus as the Lord and Savior of their lives. God's goodness and righteousness are shown on the cross of Calvary. Jesus' death shows us how good and righteous in saving you and I. Now, look at verses 18 to 19. Look 18 to 19. "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them." See, the only conditions for receiving God's salvation are to call on Him in truth, to fear Him and to love Him in verses 18 to 20. Can you see that the Lord is near to all, not to some, not to the elite, not to the intellectual, but to all?
You see, when I was in Malaysia, in Penang, abroad in Penang, but Singaporean, you know, those churches in Penang, some of them are for those very rich, like I was in Wesley Penang, you know, those upper class people go to church. And we were with the Boys Brigade, and Boys Brigade are those who, you know, come from poor family. Then then one of the sons who joined our group, his father's a rickshaw, trishaw puller. He did not enter the church. You know why? He said that church is for rich people only. I did not enter the church. Look at them, well-dressed. He's a rickshaw. He said, I cannot come to church. I said, why? Because, oh, church is only for rich people, for only educated people. I'm a poor person. The Lord is near to who? To all. To all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. See, dear friends, the gospel is for all people. It's not for those intellectuals, it's not for those who are rich. It's for all. When I was in Manila doing mission work, I went to the poorest among the poor, Smoky Mountain. Look at YouTube, Smoky Mountain. The poorest among the poor. We went there to share the gospel. And many of them turned to Christ. Here David raised his voice to praise God. Because he was faithful to his people, or leading his people out of Egypt to a land that flowed with milk and honey. Friends, we will not be disappointed when we seek comfort from God in all our affliction. David reminded us that those who seek the Lord will be comforted. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians 3 to 4. Oh, praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Can you see that? Oh, praise to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. God will meet all our needs when we lift up our eyes to God. He will provide all our needs at the proper time. Let me share with you another testimony, how great God is. When I was at Bible college, husband and wife studying together, supported by my church back home, but only supported, he was one person. So once in a while, I get a red card. You know what a red card means? You have not paid your fee yet. So as a poor student, what we do is just to pray, God, we need to pay our fee. Next day, under our door, there's an envelope with money, enough to pay our fee. And enough for us to have a short break. God is great. God is wonderful. When we call upon Him, He will hear our prayer in His time.
And therefore, we are urged to call on him in verse 18 with all sincerity. We are called to fear him. That's our affectionate reverence to God, that we submit ourselves humbly and carefully to God's word and obey it. Friends, if we do, you can be assured that he will listen to our prayer. He will provide our daily needs and protect us from our enemies. In 1 Peter 5, 7 says that cast all your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 7. The word cast all means throw yourself. Throw yourself to God. When he answers our prayer, we must praise him. And when he answers another of our prayers, we must remember to praise him. David again ended with, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. In verse 21, my mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. My mouth. We need to speak. Just like our wives, or you tell the husband, talk, 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 no action. Just talk, you are like NATO. N-O-N-A-T-O, no action, talk only. We knew words and action come to words and deeds. C.S. Spurgeon said, if we praise God because of his works around us, we must go on to praise him from the works within us. We want to praise God for sending his son Jesus Christ into the world to rescue you and I from his hand of the devil so that you and I can be free from the bondage of sin. We thank God for changing our lives from within. From a short-tempered person to a gentle person. From an unkind person to a loving person. From a selfish person to a very generous person. And the list is endless. Friends, if we have not personally accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, I would like you to consider Jesus Christ. I read to you again Romans 10, 9 to 13. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart one believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses, resulting in salvation. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentiles. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is so wonderful. All, everyone. So this morning, will you call upon the Lord and receive him as your Lord and personal Savior? As for the rest of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, there are five things we can do in response to God's word this morning. One, we can strive to reflect God's goodness in our lives. The word is reflect or meditate. We can exalt the King of Kings. We can trust our God to provide all our needs. We can share David's longing for the fulfillment of the kingdom. And we can proclaim the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ to others. In closing, David is saying that there is a direct link between our heart and our tongue. We speak about what is in our heart. Some people really love to talk about sports. Others talk about a lot about their family. Some talk about food. Some talk about their holidays. Some talk about their cars or houses. And still others focus their words on money. Now, if you
want to know what someone holds dear, just listen to what they talk about. Listen, if our hearts were full of God, then our tongue won't be able to stop talking about Him to others. If we truly want verse 12, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom to be fulfilled. And here, have all men know His mighty act. Then, friend, it is imperative that we cultivate a habit, a lifestyle of praise and adoration. Then when we bump into others, our words will flow and our hearts will spill over with His love and grace. Someone has said, if Christians praise God more, the world would doubt Him less. If Christians praise God more, the world would doubt Him less. So, church, let's begin by proclaiming to others of how faithful our God is. Don't hold back. Let us raise our voice and proclaim to the world that the Lord is gracious, the Lord is good, the Lord is faithful, the Lord upholds all those who fall. The Lord provides food for His people. The Lord is righteous. The Lord is loving. The Lord is near to those who call on Him. And the Lord watches over all who love Him. Isn't that wonderful? Friend, this is the God that you and I are serving. He is our faithful God. Do you agree? You say, let's say, Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Your grace and mercy are shown to us in Christ Jesus. In Him, we see the fullness of God. In Him, we see Thy faithfulness. In Him, we see Your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us to be your children. And Father, give us the guts. Give us the voice to tell others how great you are. Father, help us to praise you, to tell our generation, the next generation, about how great you are. So help us, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. On our own, we are so inward looking. So help us to look outside of ourselves and help us to tell others, great is thy faithfulness.